WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space, and I'm amazed you're here. I can't even talk. Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Cedar McGee on Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. Pastor Paul, it's so good
Cedar,
to see you.
So
I'm amazed you're here with us.
So good to see you and be here as well. So to answer your question, online at 1510wwbc.com. Stream is working good. You can stream us. You can listen on demand. That's working good. And then, of course, you want me to mention the other stations that we're on?
Of course.
On the FM, starting here in Coco and all points north, 99.9, 94.7 Central Brevard County, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and then 99.9 is our strongest FM signal. And that is on Harlock Road in Melbourne. And that covers Melbourne, Palm Bay, Barefoot Bay, Satellite Beach, all the beaches, and all points south.
You know,
and AM, of course.
We're all over the place, Pastor
Paul. All over
Paul.
The place. That's right.
You know, I woke up to a very challenging day for all my listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends today. My co-host, my right hand, Ellen O'Neill, could not make it. Then Allie Tambor, our resident guest, could not make it. She's on a cruise. Samantha, who helps us with social media, could not make it today. And then now I find out that Danny couldn't make it. So Pastor Paul just stuck in here, and he crept in, and he's here running on board for us. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And then I remembered that the good Lord sends good people my way all the time. And my good friend, Dr. Martha Watts, had once said to me, if ever you need me, just give me a call. And you know what? I took it upon myself to send her a text this morning, and here you are. So our show today, Dr. Martha Watts is co-hosting. Welcome and thank you.
Thank you very much, Cedar, for having me. I really appreciate your invitation.
And tell our listeners really quickly in 30 seconds or less who you are and what you do so they'll know who my co-host is today.
I am Martha Joseph Watts and I'm an educator at heart. I'm an independent consultant right now. I worked with Brevard County Schools for the last 9 years, but now I take it on myself to go ahead and conduct professional development to train teachers. I also have my podcast, which is Rethink It Habits. And what I try to do is to help people understand how you can utilize principles of habits to live a more successful life. And this season, my podcast will be on financial literacy. And the reason for doing that is because I feel like so many of us middle and low income people, we have income and we do not know what to do with it because we never learned in school or anywhere else. So starting this week, that's what it's going to be about.
Well, thank you for jumping into co-host today. And so my friends and I sit here on Mondays, every Monday, going on 14 years. And I am so grateful to WWBC and Paul and Danny and Kim and everyone who gives us a voice here in Brevard County, Florida, to speak about social issues, mental health issues, physical health, emotional health, the economy, the world as we see it, our environment. And we sit here on Mondays and we have such a robust discussion with guests from all over the United States and the world. And we have our friends that live locally that come in person and we speak about what we like to call kitchen table issues, things that make a difference in a very fun, unscripted, educational, and of course, very interesting manner. And today is no different. My good friend, Mr. Anthony Profeta is here, and he is a meditation teacher, and he's also a coach. I'd like to say a mindfulness coach. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Cedar. It's an honor to be here with you today, and you as well.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you with us, and I thought it would be a great day to start off the first Monday in 2023 with a show about mindfulness and peace and happiness. And what kind of human beings are we? Are we people that actually understand that the universe belongs to all of us? Or are we people that divide and conquer? And one of the people that I met through social media that have become a good friend of mine is a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Overmeyer. And Lawrence had called in on the show before. He's also an activist, an actor, an educator, and so much more. And one of the books that I read that he wrote, it's called The One Idea That Saves Our World. It's a message of hope. It's a message of peace. It's a message of togetherness. And I wanted him to call in today. So he's on the phone, and I have to welcome him to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So welcome, Mr. Lawrence. How are you?
Oh, hi, Sita. How you doing? Great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for taking the time to call in on our show and share your wisdom with us. And, every time I think about you, I saw something once that says, surround yourself with beautiful and positive people who love and believe in you. And I believe in you and what you're doing, and I know you also believe in what we are doing here in Brevard County, Florida, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Oh, yes. It's always a pleasure to get to together with people who are filled with love and kindness and joy, and, you know, that's what makes life wonderful. So I'm really happy to be here this morning.
So, thank you.
I'm 3 hours different than you are. So, for me, it's morning. But
I'm in
Oregon.
I was just going to say, I thought you were calling in from Oregon. So, I was telling my guest, my friend Anthony, a little bit about you and Dr. Watts. And your bio is so extensive that one person just cannot read it off like that. So, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, basically, I'm a poet. But in my life, I've done a lot of different things. And in my youth, I was an actor. I was an actor for about 10 years, and I did work on Broadway and television and some film. But then I've kind of translated into writing. So now I'm really into writing. I still teach some acting. I'm an artist in the schools, and I teach workshops for kids. So I work with kids an awful lot. But I'm basically an artist doing a lot of different things and following my path, which is hopefully a path of love and peace, because that's the path that I want to follow in the world.
Well, you know, many times people buy a book, or we're gifted a book, or we pick one up at the library, and it takes a while to get into a book sometimes. Your book, I was hooked on your book, I want to say on page 2. Because it is such an excellent delivery of a message of hope and peace and who we are as human beings on planet Earth and what our purpose is. So I want to thank you for that. And I want you to talk to our listeners a little bit about, there's a certain chapter in the book that speaks about a house is on fire.
Right.
And what kind of person are you? So can you, I wanted to open the new year with that, because I think that's a powerful scenario for people to think about.
Yeah, do you want me to read the poem?
How long will it take?
Well, maybe I'll just shorten it. The one idea is basically an idea that's very old. It goes way, way back in time. And it's about how all of us are interconnected and interdependent upon one another as human beings. It's often expressed as we are one. And you could also make it bigger and say all is one, if you want to include the whole universe, because really we're all connected and we need each other. And I think that most people basically are really good at heart. And that's what gives me hope, because it's the essential goodness of human beings that makes life wonderful and it makes change possible. So all the negative things in our world really can be changed through the healing power of love. But each of us must choose that path, must choose the path of love and kindness if we're really going to get there. So that's what my work is all about, with the one idea.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things about life in general, and I think we get older, we get bolder, and we get wiser. And I think we discover things late in life than we say, oh my gosh, I wish I'd known that when I was younger. And what I am seeing is that the universe, it's a shared space. It's all of us. And some of us have the compassion and the empathy to worry about the people in Ukraine and think about the women in Iran and think about the people in Africa and worry about the mudslides in India and worry about what's happening, you know, in other parts of the world, because I think we see the world as part of us.
Right. Yeah, the more you feel interconnected, you really, your compassion expands. Albert Einstein called it expanding your consciousness and widening your circle of compassion. And that's really what it is. It's not only caring about your immediate family, but caring about other people, caring about other people's families, caring about people not only in your own community, but in every community around the world. And I'm also a genealogist, and as a genealogist, I study family history. And I know that all of us are really one human family. Literally, all of us are cousins. And if we put that idea into our consciousness, it would change the way we think and would change the way we interact with people around the world. I think we really need to care, and that's the message that I keep putting out there.
Yeah, and it shows in your Facebook posting, the way you think and everything. And, you know, people make New Year resolutions, right? But I don't think we should do them anymore. I think what we ought to do is ask ourselves, like you do, is there anything special that you want to do for 2023? And maybe you could tell us what you want to do, and then I think Dr. Watts has a question she'll follow up with.
Sure, okay. Yeah, usually what I do for New Year's, I keep a diary every day. And so for New Year's, I take a look at the past year, I kind of review what I've done. And so New Year's for me is a time of reflection, and I consider where my life is. And I think about, in the coming year, what are some of the hopes and dreams that I want to pursue, and what are some of the things that I want to accomplish? And it just kind of gives me a path and guides me on my way to the future.
I swear, you know, when I think about, I reflect, but in a different way. I think what I do is I say to myself, who last year took the time, the energy, and the effort to make my life better? Because there's, you know, because there's so many people that you meet along the way, and you don't have to know them for 10, 15 years. You just meet them, and they give you that 2 hours because you wanted to go to a ladies' luncheon, or you wanted to attend a political event, or you wanted to do something for the poor or the homeless, and this person came with you. And so I said to myself, well, who is staying in 2023, and who's leaving? Because I'm going to start shedding some people.
Yeah, the negative energy isn't helpful, and that some, you know, some people are toxic, and we need to keep our distance. And the other people, the people that really do enrich our lives, are the people that we want to include, and that's a healthy way to live, I think.
Right. But Lawrence, I'm kind of curious. I heard what you said about keeping a diary. I wanted to know what inspires your writing. Do you write because something is happening around you, or do you write because you have that inner revelation? For example, I know that Ukraine is on. Do you write because of what's happening in the news? Or where do you get your inspiration for writing when you write?
We talk about compassion, and really my writing comes about because of my compassion for what I see in the world. I always think about, how can we make the world a healthier place? And I want to communicate that as an artist and a poet. So I focus on things that are out of whack, things that we're doing that are distancing us from one another, and I'm trying to find ways that, how can we find the healing, healthy path? And I read about that, and so that's really what inspires me. I want to do everything I can in my short life on this earth to try to make it a better place, and that's what kind of drives me.
Yeah, beautiful. And you know, it's like, it's almost like you want to bottle and sell to other people that our existence on the planet, it's about having a purposeful life. And so many people just don't get it. And you want to say to them, do you understand what a gift it is to be on this journey called life? It is a gift, and a lot of people just don't see it that way. But Lawrence, I wanted to ask you, you speak in your book about the illusion of separateness. Talk to us a little bit about that, and what do you mean by that?
Well, most of us, I think, are brought up to believe that we're all separate from everyone else, and we all act independently of one another. But the truth is the one idea. It's that we are all interconnected and interdependent upon one another. So the separateness is really an illusion, because every thought, every action we take has the power to affect others. It can be either positive or it can be negative. But if we choose to make a positive difference in the world, we certainly have the power to do that. So I encourage people to do the things that are positive in your life and spread the light, because that's what makes life worth living. And there's so much, as you say, it's a gift to be here, and we're only here for a short time, so let's make the most of it. And love is the answer, love in all its many forms.
Well, you know, I have with us today in studio my friend Anthony, and he is a mindfulness coach, and he meditates and uses so many elements that the good Lord sent on earth in his practice to help others. And I think he's going to jump in here and ask a question as well. He's nodding his head to almost everything you say.
I'm loving everything that's being shared right now on multiple levels, but I also just wanted to ask, and Lawrence, don't you believe that when we do shine our light and we do choose to make that, whether it's a word, thought, or deed, a positive one, that when that goes out and affects somebody, then that has the potential to exponentially grow even more, because that touches them, and then it maybe changes their state, and then they go out and touch somebody with that light, and we can generate a whole, spark a whole revolution of love, as you're saying, love is the whole purpose.
We can have fireworks.
If more of us were making that choice on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And the truth is that we'll never know how much our positive actions affect other people. We might see little glimpses of it, but you'll never really know. But you have to trust that it happens. It's happening. It affects people, and it just accumulates, and it's like an avalanche of love that goes around. So always focus on the positive things. Even a smile to someone on the street brightens their day, and you don't know how that's going to ripple out into the world, but do it, because it really helps everyone.
Absolutely.
I just want to say what you just said is just super awesome. As a teacher myself, you would wonder, which child did I impact? You never know. And then later on in life, somebody posts something saying, oh, she taught me to read. And he's like, oh, really? You never seem to have been paying attention. So we don't always know the answer to that right now. So we just have to keep doing it and understanding that we are impacting somebody's life.
Right. And so, you know, what you said was so interesting, because, you know, my husband, of course, took a challenge. And he said that he wanted to read the book by Leo Tolstoy,
uh-huh,
of War and Peace. And I said to him, I remember when I read your book, I had highlighted something that you wrote in the one I did at Saves the World, Mr. Lawrence Overmeyer. You had written, well, you'd quoted it, everybody thinks of changing humanity, but nobody thinks of changing himself. And you said that change begins with us, the individuals, and we are the heroes. We are the heroes that we should be changing ourselves in order to change the world. And I thought that was profound, because my husband did finish the book, all 1,400 pages, and I thought for a minute there was that you were living in our home, because he kept highlighting everything that this guy, Leo Tolstoy, has said, and it was amazing. So talk to us a little bit about the real heroes.
Yeah, the real heroes are the people who are doing good every day in the world, and they're trying to heal us all. And you'll see them everywhere. But the truth that all of us come to, all of us that are searching on this path, the truth is always love. And love is what it's all about. And love is a really big word. In the broadest sense of the word, it includes kindness and empathy and compassion and generosity, cooperation, forgiveness, understanding, respect, appreciation, gratitude, and sacrifice. That's the big word of love. And that's what the real heroes do. They live that in their lives every day, and they are spreading light into the world. And if you can gather those people around you, all of us together are really going to make a difference.
Yeah, but how did you find yourself walking the path of being such a good humanitarian, Mr. Lawrence Overmeyer? Was it somebody that inspired you?
Well, I'm inspired by, I'm a genealogist, so I'm inspired by all my ancestors and the things that they did to give me the gift of life. And they were concerned, compassionate people, a lot of them as well. And so I guess that's maybe what I kind of came into this world with innately. I don't know. But I've always had a feeling that I wanted to do some good in the world as much as I can. And I suppose I've appreciated that, you know, life is a gift, and I have to do what I can to make that gift really special.
Right. And it's to me, your writing, it appears as though it's a bit of a spiritual cleansing as well, because it's very therapeutic what you write. So yeah, do you find that it brings out your spiritual side when you write your poems and you wrote your book and all that?
So poetry for me is really kind of a healing process, because I revisit things in my life. I give them a second look. And when I do that, I discover more that I had missed. So I write a poem, a lot of it is kind of subconscious, and I'm taught through the process of writing, and I'm looking at what I've experienced, and I learn new things about what I've experienced. So it makes my whole life experience even richer and more profound. But I'm always searching for some kind of divine truth, and that truth is always something about love.
Yeah. I always say, we have a creator that I believe in. Different people call him Buddha or Christ or Muhammad, or they call him, you know, Lord Krishna or whatever. But there is a higher power that brings all of us like-minded people together. And I am so grateful, Mr. Lawrence Overmeyer, to have you in my life, because I learn a lot from you. Some of your Facebook postings and your book and all that, it really makes me think and makes me a better person. But we have 3 minutes left, and I wanted to speak to you about the value of things. I mean, one of the things you always talk about is that we must place value on each other and our planet. That most people do place value on the wrong things. And not that we don't need money and we don't need land and we don't need people with ambition, but a lot of people put value on the material goods and power versus being in tune with the universe. So let's, in 3 minutes or less, chat with us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, for me, values are more spiritual. I want to grow as a human being. And part of that is because I'm an artist. So I consider that the greatest work of art that I'm working on is myself. So I'm trying to expand my own consciousness. And we talk about mindfulness. I really want to become aware and mindful of what's happening on the planet, and I want to see what can I do to contribute to the healing in the world. And one thing that's missing right now in our value system, I think, is truth. And the truth to me is love. Love is the greatest truth. And no matter what religion you belong to, almost all religions agree that love is what it's all about, that we're brothers and sisters, and that we need to get along, and we need to work together. And all of us can share in this light, but we really need to value truth. There's a lot of lies going on now, conspiracy theories, things that are really dividing us, and those things are really doing harm. We've got to focus on finding truth, and that takes some effort. You have to look for the truth, but you're going to find that the truth is always about love.
Right. Well, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where human beings live. We all want to be loved and appreciated and accepted for who we are. And I think that is the essence of 2023, is through generosity and kindness and compassion and empathy, we can all change ourselves. And in doing so, we can change the world we live in. So, Mr. Lawrence Overmeyer, your book, The One Idea That Saves the World, A Message of Hope, and God knows we're in a time of crisis. With 30 seconds left, just tell our listeners where they can find your book or read some of your writings, your poetry and stuff, so that we could also promote you as one of the people that came in my path to help change the world.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, my book is available on Amazon, for example, or it's available in bookstores. All you have to do is ask for it, and they can order it for you. But my work is online. You can do a search for my name. It's Lawrence, spelled with a U, and Overmeyer is with M-I-R-E. It's a little bit of a different spelling. And you can follow me on Facebook. My posts are public, so you can read some of my poetry there as well.
Well, thank you so very much. What a robust first segment. We will be right back with our second segment with Mr. Anthony Profeta. And stay tuned, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee. We've got Dr. Martha Watts co-hosting. Paul, Pastor Paul is running aboard. Happy 2023. We'll be right back after these messages.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super Savings Sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Taylorsville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com.
Call the professionals at
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in a very sunny Cocoa, Florida. I'm grateful that Pastor Paul is here with us and he's running the board for us. My co-host today is Dr. Martha Watts. And what a great first segment we had with our friend Lawrence Overmeyer. Paul, if you'd like to tell them where they can listen to all our shows and all our stations and FM and AM and everything, you know it by heart.
Oh, that would be my pleasure. Well, first of all, on the AM dial at 30,000 watts right here on 1510 AM, covering all of Brevard County and then some. And then on the FM 99.9 and Cocoa pointing north, 94.7 here in central Brevard County, Vieira and Merritt Island, and heading into Melbourne and Rockledge, Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral. And if you are in the south end of the county, that's our strongest signal on the FM, and that is on 100.7 FM in Melbourne, Palm Bay, all of the beaches. You can tune in just about anywhere. Listen in here to WWBC, streaming online at 1510. That's 1510 WWBC.com. And all of CETA's prior programs are uploaded on there. Go to On Demand, click on the program, and you'll see some
voila.
Five voilas, right, as they say in French.
It's right there. You can't miss it. Paul, thank you so much. So our first segment was so wonderful. I wanted to start 2023 off with a really great show about meditation and peace and happiness and mindfulness. And then I remembered that my good friend Anthony Profeta, I had promised him a long time ago to bring him on our show. And I thought, why did I ever do that? Because his website and what he does, it really attracts your attention and puts your mind at ease. And I'm so grateful that Anthony's committed to what he says in his practice and his spiritual life is what he practices in real life, and I love it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Sita. I appreciate those words. That's very kind of you to say, and I am happy to finally be able to sit with you and talk about meditation, mindfulness, and anything that comes up for discussion. And it really was a fantastic segment. A lot of what Lawrence was saying actually had a lot of sort of Eastern undertones to it, and the words that he was using and perspectives, and it's wonderful to have been able to sit through that too.
Well, you know, when I read your bio and it said that you said you were a former medical student turned professionally certified meditation teacher, mindfulness expert, and a singing bowl specialist, I thought, what happened to this guy? So talk to us a little bit about the last two decades and, you know, what you switched from one to the other. And it's it's kind of like a holistic approach to life, in a way,
it
right?
It is, yes. It's interesting. Some people in my family said my life sort of made a very interesting circle, because when I was like 4 years old, I said I always want to be a priest from that time. But then once hormones kick in and you learn about girls, the priest faded and doctor came into my mentality. Because I always felt I wanted to serve people. And I thought helping them heal on the journey to self-healing through traditional medicine was going to be my primary way of serving. But while I was in there, something that always was, you know, reiterated through what I was reading and studying, I was always reading a lot of research on medicine and disease and illnesses. And the American Medical Association, at the time I was in school, studies were showing that nearly 80% of illness and disease was due to stress. But I said was. Because a new study was published in 2021, which now says that nearly 90% of all hospital and doctor visits worldwide are stress-related.
Yeah, we see it. We see it every day because people are rushed. Where are we rushing to, Anthony?
Right.
I mean, we're rushing. And then some of us are sitting here and thinking, my God, I used to be 25. Then I was 35, then I was 45, and now I'm heading I'm in my 50s, and all that rushing around, some of it was good and some of it wasn't.
Right.
But we know people who rushed around and was stressed out.
Yep.
And they've had problems. Let's go from head to toe. Some of the things you see in your practice,
yes,
because it is a practice.
Yes.
You are seeing people and you're teaching them to meditate,
yeah,
think, listen to the universe, listen to their inner selves,
yep,
right?
All of that. Tune into yourself, really gain understanding of what emotions you're feeling, what these emotions are. And because a lot of people come to seek guidance from me in two main categories. One is very secular, in the sense that they're not really looking to dive deeper into any spiritual practices, but they're looking to learn how to get through anxiety, learn to manage their mind, maybe quiet it down, and deal with difficult emotions that might be arising within them. And then I have a second category of clients who are coming to really get a deeper connection to what they call God, spirit, universe, or, you know, their higher self, their true self. So the clients really are two very distinct categories in that way.
And so you learned a lot of your craft from the monks, the monasteries in Nepal?
In Nepal and India,
and
yeah.
India. Yes. So how did that come about?
So what happened was, I realized that so much illness and disease was due to stress. And I knew, I was studying meditation for 20 years. And prior to medical school, I was doing meditation as well. My purpose for it was more spiritual. I wanted a deeper connection to what I still call God, but whatever people...
The universe.
Yeah, whatever label
it's calling
people
your
put
name.
On that.
Yeah.
Right, yes. And so that's why I got onto the path. And I knew how much it was helping me through very stressful times of my life. First year medical school is very stressful, and so it was helping me with that. And so I said, well, if so much illness and disease is due to stress, I'm going to start focusing more heavily on stress management, relaxation responses, and all those sort of things to really get to the underlying root cause. And I started my meditation journey in the year 2000, and it was here in the United States with very well-known teachers in this country. However, in 2016, I went to live as a monk, and I really wanted to dive deep and learn as many different meditation methods, tools, contemplative practices as I could. So I went to India, the birthplace that many say meditation arose out of, and I went to study in a monastery in Bodh Gaya, which is a city where the Buddha was... actually became Buddha, or became what Buddha is just a title. It means one who is awake.
Yes.
And so that's
the enlightened one.
The enlightened one.
Yes, yes.
So the place of Buddha's enlightenment, and I was in a monastery there studying meditation.
I am so jealous. What a life.
It was wonderful. It was really wonderful. I sat under the tree that, according to the tradition, was the tree the Buddha was sitting under when he attained that state. And then I also spent some time in a Tibetan monastery, went over to Nepal, was studying in a monastery in Copan, Nepal for a period of time, and even spent a couple of weeks in a Franciscan monastery in Assisi, Italy, studying contemplative prayer and centering prayer and what would be considered Christian contemplative practices, so that no matter who was coming to me, you know, if they were coming for a deeper spiritual connection, it wasn't just that I was, you know, just Eastern in my perspective. In fact, I'm Italian, and I grew up raised Catholic.
So it's a gift for you at this point.
Oh, yeah.
You can see both sides. But some of your meditation masters, my goodness, the Dalai Lama?
Yeah. So
talk to us a little bit. How did you have those meditation masters?
So that was amazing. When I went to India in 2016, I mentioned that I was in a Tibetan monastery studying some Tibetan practices of meditation and mindfulness. And I went back from 2016, 2017, 2018 to continue study every year. I would go back for about 2 to 3 months at a time. And in 2019, when I was going over, right before, I had made my airline ticket to go over, and I was going to the monastery, and I had contacted them, said I was going to come over to continue study. They sent me an email, and they said, we're going to be leaving the monastery because we're going to... the Dalai Lama's place of residence, and we're going to be attending a teaching with him. Would you like to join us? And so what happened was I was able to go with the monks from the monastery I was studying in and attend with them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 5 days. Life-changing days.
Isn't it?
And was able to sit with the Dalai Lama.
Being in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. And who you know.
And my niece just met him. Niece just shook his hand.
Yeah.
And we have a picture. We were like, blown away. She was in India last year and she met him. But did you, were there a lot of foreigners? Because
no.
I heard that there's a lot of people that go, but they don't get to meet the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of foreigners. It was mostly monks and nuns. At the at the teaching I was at, and to know I could probably count the number of foreigners on maybe both hands that right. I saw.
So that is a gift.
That is a gift.
Yeah. So your practice is based here in Florida.
In
Harbor Beach?
No, actually Vero Beach.
Vero Beach. Okay.
Yep.
And you do retreats here in the United States and internationally.
Internationally.
So
yes.
Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. For our friends who are tuning in, we're speaking with Anthony Profeta, and he's a former medical student turned professionally certified meditation teacher and mindfulness expert. That's a mouthful. So, yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the retreat. And I know that Dr. Martha Watts is forming a question in her head to ask you. I could just tell. So go ahead sure. and talk to us a little bit about the retreat.
Well, how that happened was I was already teaching classes all around Florida and around the United States and from meditation and mindfulness. But then I ended up going, like we were just talking about, to India and to Nepal to study. And I would share some images on social media. And friends were like, well, Anthony, India looks so beautiful, and your pictures look so beautiful.
They are. I've seen your pictures.
Yeah. They said, we've always liked to go, but would you want to lead us? Would you go with us? So the whole idea of doing spiritual retreats to these spiritual places sort of unfolded from a bunch of friends who said they wanted to go. And then for quite a few years now, I've been leading groups of people over to India, over to Nepal. We also went to Egypt this year. Which was beautiful. Got to sit in the pyramid and meditate, and it was a magical experience.
What I'm curious about, Anthony, is what drew you out of medicine? What inspired you or attracted you to meditation?
I was practicing meditation earlier, but what drew me to it as a practice was, now there's two main reasons for this. There's a very more general reason, and then there's a much deeper intimate reason for my change. The first one was that, as I mentioned a moment ago, I wanted to get to the root cause. I wanted to help people get to the stress, alleviate the stress, help them navigate through this very stressful world and the emotions that were coming up in them. So I decided to go more holistic in my
approach.
Practice. Mm-hmm. However, in my second year of medical school, my father got ill. And he went in, he wasn't supposed to die, but he went into the hospital for a pacemaker change, and he contracted a superbug that no antibiotic was able to get rid of. And they said, we're very sorry, we don't know, maybe he has a year, we're not really sure how long this is going to take for this transition to happen. And my mother didn't want him placed in a nursing home, so she had a bed put in their home, and she allowed him to make his transition in his house, and in
yeah.
their house. And she took care of him as this transition was being made. And sadly, my mother and father were together for, this isn't sad, this is beautiful, they were together for 50 years, but sadly, seeing this man slowly being taken away from her, she also got ill.
Yeah.
And so I stopped school for a while to go help with this transition now, to help my parents through this, and me and my father would sit up at nights, and I would talk with him.
About life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
About life and about things. And
I could just see it playing out in front of me.
And something that he said to me was, Anthony, whatever you're doing with your life, I hope you're just doing what you really love. And you're not just doing something to be pleasing to me or your mother or anything like that. And so that really struck a chord in me. And I began to really think about, you know, am I doing what I love? And I was. Medicine was definitely something I've always been interested in. I still read medical research and article in journals today. I still stay on top of what's new in medicine. So I'm fascinated by that, fascinated by healing. But one of the other things that I'm truly fascinated by is not only science, but spirituality. And I felt that meditation and mindfulness was a beautiful bridge to the both worlds. And so that was another motivating factor for me to really step out. Because a lot of people thought when I was leaving traditional medicine, I lost my mind.
Yeah.
Like, what are
well,
you doing?
Well, because they're thinking,
yeah.
like Lawrence had said before about the value. But you also did something amazing with this good vibrations.
Yeah.
And so, what is that, sitar? Mm-hmm. Is it music? What is it?
It's these things called singing bowls. Mm-hmm. Some are made of crystal, some are metal. And they make sounds, they make tones, they make vibrations, sort of like a bell or a melodic music that can be played. And so, and they have been used for meditation. And so, quite a few years ago now...
Sounds like a discipline thing.
Well, it's focusing on sounds, in any method of meditation, what we're trying to do is focus on something. Some people use the breath and they focus on breath. Some people use the verses of scripture. Some people use a mantra. Some people can use sound as a way to meditate. So when you're using these singing bowls, and I'm playing these good vibration sound baths, as they're called, people are listening to the sounds of the bowls simply like they're listening to a song.
So it takes them away.
Yes, and it gives them a point of focus. So that when the mind gets distracted, they just come back to these sounds over and over again.
Wow.
And they've been very well, very grateful.
And you've been mentioned about all of this stuff in the Huffington Post.
Yes,
the Palm Beach Illustrated, Space Coast Living.
Yes.
Your writings have been published in a lot of magazines, not just here in the United States, but globally.
Yes, they have.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
To think you live right here in Brevard, and you're so humble and kind, and you know, you have found your purpose in life.
Thank you so much.
And it's so beautiful, right?
It is.
So what do you say to people who, you know, a lot of people just can't agree to disagree and leave things alone? Like, when you say something, it's supposed to be able to drop on the ground. Some people pick it up and they want to fight over it. Like my mother used to say, not everything that people say, you have to respond to it. Let it fall. It's okay. So what do you say to people like that who really are stuck in a place where they want to heal themselves, but they just need that person to say, let me show you how?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think the first thing is being open and willing to take guidance. Because if people don't want to change, then they're not going to change. It's like an addict who, you know, you want them to get off the drug, unless they really want to get off, it's going to be of no help. You can have the intervention and all of this, but until they see for themselves that they need to change, it's hard to make that happen. So the first thing is knowing that maybe you want to become more, you know, open-minded or compassionate or kind or loving or respectful in this world. And then knowing that there are practices out there that can literally have been shown through science to help you do that. And so, for example, meditation and mindfulness has been studied very
extensively.
There's
a science behind that.
There is a science behind it, and there's science that shows that different areas of the brain actually increase. The area that's associated with compassion grows and develops and helps us feel more empathy and, you know.
But you have to want it.
You have to want it.
So, and there's also a connection between our breath and breath work.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people don't think about how beautiful it is to be able to wake up and breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, or they don't think how grateful it is, how wonderful it is to be able to see or hear or speak.
Right.
So speak to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Anthony, about breath and breath work.
Well, breath is a very, very interesting thing. It is considered very spiritual. Many traditions equate breath with God, like God breathed the breath of life into us, according to the Bible, and many other traditions talk about the breath being equal to spirit. So it has a spiritual component to it. And what's also interesting about breath is it's something that's done voluntarily and involuntarily. You know, thank God we don't need to think about every breath we need to take. Because if we did, we'd become so caught up in our day, we'd forget and would be passed out on the floor and die. I mean, you could go days and weeks without food and water. You can't go that long without breathing. And the thing is that many people don't actually recognize how important it is to breathe properly. And that's where breath work comes in. We're all breathing all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're breathing. But breath work or practices or exercises, in Hinduism they call them pranayamas, breathing exercises.
Yes.
That can be done in order to create different states and feelings and emotions within your body. There's ways that you can breathe to actually energize your body. There's ways that you can breathe to actually calm your body down. In fact, for people that are dealing with anxiety, the nervous system is composed of two parts. The autonomic nervous system has the sympathetic and the parasympathetic part to it. And the sympathetic is your stress. So just think sympathetic as stress. And the parasympathetic is your rest and digest. That's the one that calms you down. So if you're feeling anxious or frustrated or nervous, there's a very easy technique that you could do. Whatever you breathe in for a count of, so if you breathe in for 2 or 4 or 5, exhale out 2 to 3 times longer, and that will literally shut off the sympathetic and engage your parasympathetic
nervous system. Well, I think they say when you go for a walk on the beach, your parasympathetic takes in.
Yes, the sound of the ocean and all of that.
When you read a good book
and
it takes you away.
Yep.
When you eat curry chicken like me. That comfort food. You know, comfort foods.
Yes.
could decrease your stress level.
Oh, anything like anything.
Just
that
getting
you find
together with people, right? Right.
And the other thing, though, that one more, last thing about breathwork that I find fascinating is that many people don't realize that the body actually detoxifies itself the most through the breath. Wow. So if you're breathing properly, in the correct manner, you actually release 70% of your toxins through the breath because you're doing it the most. The ways we release toxins are expiration, your breathing, perspiration, urination, and defecation. And out of those four, the ones you do the most is breathing.
Yeah.
So proper exhalations help you to remove toxins.
You know, that brings me to a great point. We have friends that call us all the time for advice from the retired doc, of course. And I remember once we said to them, as long as you're breathing,
right,
as long as you're sleeping, as long as you're eating, as long as you can go to the bathroom both right ways, you're good.
Right.
That's about the things you need to survive, right?
Right.
To sleep, to pee, you know, whatever, right?
Yep.
So that brings me to something that a lot of people don't know this, but science and spirituality, a lot of intellectuals, a lot of people in your stature, they do believe there's a connection. I believe there's a connection.
Yes.
I sincerely believe that the good Lord sent me on the planet for a reason. And when I go, I'm going to say I did my job. And I think I'm grateful that he sends people my way, or she sends people my way. It doesn't matter who, that are like-minded and are able to give back. So talk to us. We have about, I think, 5 or 6 minutes left about that S&S, I like to call it, science and spirituality.
Yes, and this goes back to actually Martha's comments. So thank you for that about the, because this is one of my passions, is bridging the scientific world and the spiritual world together. And you are absolutely right. Many of the great minds from, you know, Einstein and Nikola Tesla and Niels Bohr,
Leo Tolstoy,
all of them saw the connection between the two. They didn't see them as separate. Yeah. There are some people out there that think like science and spirituality are butting heads. They can't see eye to eye. And it's not that at all. It's just that they talk about the world around it in different ways. They use different terminology to talk about the world because, you know, scientists have a very specialized areas of study that use specific words, and spirituality talks about it in just different terms. But I believe at the fundamental level that they are talking about and supporting the exact same viewpoint. Some people say, well, science has confirmed nothing about spirituality. They haven't proven a soul. They haven't proven anything. But if you just want a little example of what I do believe they support each other in, is that we are eternal, undying, timeless, beautiful beings. You know, some traditions from the spiritual world call it a soul or an atman or a jiva or, you know, Buddha nature or anything like that.
Being.
Yeah. Your eternalness. And science says that, you know, Albert Einstein said the entire world that we see around us is composed of nothing but what he called energy.
Matter.
Yep, and all matter is nothing more than an energetic vibration. So all these things, the table that's in front of us, the microphone, and our physical body, everything that we call matter is an energy that's vibrating, and that's what the entire universe is. Well, according to the number one law of energetics, energy can't be created and can't be destroyed. All it could simply do is transition from one state to another. And so doesn't that mean that also science calling you an energy confirms that you're
an eternal being?
Yes.
That you are.
It's a balance. It's such a healthy balance when you could think that way. Sometimes I think like all the politicians worldwide, not just in the U.S., should think like that, because really and truly, our words matter.
Oh, yes.
What we say matter.
Yes. And
the good Lord gave us a brain. I remember explaining to my granddaughter once about the Creator, and I said, as long as your heart is beating, he or she is living in there.
Oh, yes.
They're living.
Yeah.
So it's a simple way for a child to know that there is something other than us.
Right.
Because I do believe in spirituality. But how do we spread this message, what you're doing, to others? Because I know you have a website.
I do.
Classes.
Yes.
So now is the time for you to tell our listeners how they can contact you. And I have to say, when you were in Egypt,
right,
the pictures you were posting made me feel, and so many of us feel, as though we were there with you.
Thank you so much.
You have a way of sharing the pictures and writing your little narrative that makes people understand what went on so many years ago in Egypt and why you were there. So it was, thank you for that. So give us your website and tell us a little bit about how someone could contact you to get on one of these trips or...
Thank you so much, Nita. I truly appreciate it. Yeah, I can be found in many different ways on social media. It's from Instagram and Facebook. It's just Anthony Profeta Meditation. And my website is simply my name. It's Anthony Profeta, P-R-O-F-E-T-A.com. And so I can also be connected through there. And you can find my events or where I'll be. I'm mostly in the Brevard, Indian River area on the regular, but I do also do classes throughout Florida and other areas of the United States as well. And they can find all the information for the retreats on that also.
One of the things on your website that I absolutely love, oh, thank you. Thank you, Paul. He's telling us we have 3 more minutes.
Sure.
It's great. There's a quote there that says, a person who looks outside dreams, but the person who looks inside awakens.
Yes, that's Carl
and
Jung.
That's Carl Jung.
My favorite.
So what, with the remaining few minutes, with mindfulness and with the holistic way that you're seeing life, do you find that it's a disciplined way, that it also helps people with eating?
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, so many people want to lose weight and they're taking all these vitamins and they're taking all this chemicals into their body. Tell our listeners about some of the additional benefits of mindfulness.
There are so many, and you mentioned eating, and it does help with weight management. It helps with sleep. It helps with high blood pressure. There are so many studies that are coming out that are showing the benefits of meditation and mindfulness. But what it's really doing are these practices make you move from the outer world to the inner world. The practices that make you not look outside of yourself, but make you look into the world of your heart and mind. And you begin to understand your mind, what your thoughts are like, what your emotions are like, what these emotions of, you know, anger or jealousy or happiness or bliss really are, by really fully connecting with them and experiencing them. It's about really being present to the moment and what's going on within you and around you in that moment. And what it also does is it allows us to see what the universe is presenting to us. And then rather than just responding out of old habits and patterns that maybe have been cultivated through us throughout the years, it really gives us a moment to pause and say, okay, this is what life is presenting to me. How am I going to respond to that? And that's where it helps us to change with things that we're doing. Like, you know, if we are, find that we're overeating or anything to that degree, it can make us pause and say, oh, wait, why am I going for this food? Why am I hungry? You know, is it really that my stomach is hungry, or is it something else? Am I feeling or trying to fulfill something else? Is it loneliness? Is it, you know, depression? And so it could really tune us into those things.
Well, Paul, what a wonderful segment. Yes. We want to thank Mr. Lawrence Overmeyer for calling in. We want to thank Martha Watts for being here with us, and Anthony Profeta for his wisdom on mindfulness. We will be right back next Monday. And I have to say, I don't know what it is, but my allergies was acting up. Thank you all for listening, and Happy New Year 2023.
Awesome.